Now, the part of the chapter that I'd like to focus on is beginning in verse number 13, where the Bible reads, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." That's the title of the sermon, "Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." What does that mean in verse 13, to gird up the loins of your mind? Well, if you think about it, throughout the Old Testament, when it talks about people having their loins girded, they're ready to do something. They're ready to do some kind of work or to take a trip or to start running or something along those lines. If you think about the Passover meal, it was to be eaten, according to Exodus 12, with their loins girded and with their staff in their hand. Basically, they're ready to go. They're sharp, they're alert, they're ready for action. And when the Bible says to gird up the loins of your mind, the opposite of that would be sitting down and relaxing. If you think about the Passover, it was not to be a relaxed meal. It was to be eaten in haste. And so the opposite of girding up the loins of your mind would be to just allow your mind to relax and just kind of allow your mind to just kind of sit around and take it easy and to just let whatever thoughts come into it and just whatever opinions that the world dishes up for you. Whereas girding up the loins of your mind, as this passage said, would be to take control of your mind, to be awake, to be alert, and to know what you believe and why. Now look at verse 14. It says, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance." Okay? So those who don't have their minds girded up, they are walking according to the lusts of the ignorance of this world. Now flip over to 2 Peter. You're in 1 Peter. Just go a few pages to the right in your Bible. 2 Peter chapter 3, because when we talk about the world that we live in, and when we say the world in the Bible, we're talking about the ungodly, unsaved, unregenerate world, like where the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We're talking about all that is not of the Father, all that is just of sinful flesh and sinful man in this world. Two words that come up over and over again are lust and ignorance. We saw them both side by side in 1 Peter 1, when it talked about the former lusts in your ignorance. Here's another place where those two things both show up about the unbelieving world we live in. 2 Peter 3:3. "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." This is what we see all around us in our day, those who scoff at and mock Christianity. Now, where is the promise of his coming? And they make fun of the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. It says in this passage that they're motivated by their own lusts and that they are willfully ignorant because of their lust, because they want to live a sinful life, and because they covet things that God has told them are off limits to them, they devise this system of thinking that's a godless system that mocks and scoffs at Christianity, and they just willfully hide their eyes from the truth. They're willfully ignorant because they're lust. You want to know why these so-called academic, you know, super intelligent people, I mean, who does the world think is just so super intelligent today? Who do they, give me some examples. Scientists, you know, Richard Dawkins and Stephen Hawking. And I just found out a new one, Michio Kaku. Who's ever heard of this guy? And they're like, oh man, this is one of the smartest guys, the smartest physicist. This is what he got up and said, and this has nothing to do with the sermon, but I'm sorry, this is just a brief commercial break. But the guy gets up and says, you know, when we physicists are out looking for life out in the solar system and out in the galaxies, not in the universe, he said, when we physicists are looking for, you know, life out in the universe, we're not looking for little green men. We're looking for type 1, type 2, and type 3 civilizations out in space. And he begins to describe, you know, type one is like the civilization we see on Buck Rogers. And he goes into all that. And, you know, type two is what we would see in Star Trek. You know, he explains everything about a type two civilization. Type three would be Star Wars and the intergalactic empire. And he goes and explains it. That's right. And he's like, you know where we rank on this scale? A zero. We're a type zero civilization. We're a big zero. And the only way we can even achieve type one status is through global government. And he said, anyone who is against global government is a terrorist. And they're trying to hold us back. And he said, the math tells us that there should be thousands of type one and type two and type three civilizations all over the universe. But we've never found any. Because he said, what happened is there are all these planets, and before they got to that Buck Rogers level, let alone the Star Trek level or the Star Wars level, he said, before they got to that level, they might have destroyed their planet through global warming. Or maybe they all nuked each other through nuclear weapons and weapons of mass destruction. Are we going to be different? He said, we're the most important generation. We're going to succeed where other people have failed. We will be Buck Rogers. We will be Captain Kirk. We will be Luke Skywalker. Okay? And I mean, this is the most intelligent guy. Oh, listen, this guy's so intelligent. Look what's so stupid about that. Oh, the math tells us. You know what the math tells us? That no life should exist in this universe because life cannot come from nothing. Amen. And life on this planet didn't come from nothing. God breathed into the nostrils of man and man became a living soul. And it didn't just happen. Mathematically, the probability. Look, you're a fool, Michio Kaku, and you, Kaka, or whatever your name is, because you know what? You can't tell us where that life originated from. You can't tell us where the plants and the animals came from. You say, oh yeah, evolution. No, evolution explains how one life form supposedly turned into another. It's false. But they claim how one kind of life turned into another. Evolution can't explain where the original life form came from. No one can explain that.
Oh, the math. Yeah, God can. You're right. But, you know, math tells us there should be thousands of Buck Rogers all throughout the universe.
And people are like, oh, man, this guy's so smart. Let us sit and learn at his feet. But listen to me. The Bible said of these people, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Amen. And I mean, these guys, look, it's not just Michio Kaku that says this. Because honestly, all of these guys, when you listen to them talk, they're into science fiction, all of them. They're all into Star Trek. They're a bunch of Trekkie geeks is what they are. There, I said it. If you're into Star Trek, you're a nerd. You're a geek. You're a dweeb. And you know what? If you're a really successful nerdy, geeky dweeb, you can grow up and be the next Stephen Hawking. You can grow up and be the next Richard Dawkins. These guys, we would have scoffed at these guys in school, you know, as being just a bunch of losers. And but you know what? They grow up, and now they've found a way to have popularity finally, because they were, you know, they were picked on in school. They sold their soul to Satan. And he's like, all these things will I give you if you'll fall down and worship me. And they're like, okay, score. You know, and now they can be cooler. You know, listen to me. These guys are a bunch of godless fools. And look, I'm not making fun of people that are nerdy. It's okay to be a geek and everything. Sorry to offend you. But anyway, go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, that had nothing to do with the sermon, okay, that was a word from our sponsor. But let me say this, though. The ignorance and the darkness in our world is not a coincidence. It's not just, it just happens to be that there's all this ignorance in the world. And the Bible says the world, he said, before you were saved, you're ignorant. You know, the world's filled with ignorance. And the Bible describes our unsaved world as being in darkness today. And I'm here to tell you, it is not an accident. It's all by design. And let me show you that in Scripture. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So notice, the unsaved are not just going through life and just living according to their own will. The Bible says that before you're saved, you walked according to the course of this world, which is what? Look at verse 2. According to the prince of the power of the air, that's talking about the devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So amongst the children of disobedience in this world, there's a spirit at work. There's a guiding force of the prince of the power of darkness that is leading them into this ignorance and darkness and stupidity and evil. That's why this physicist just happens to be going around giving speeches about how, hey, we need a global government. We need a one world government if we're ever going to be Buck Rogers. Why is he saying that? Because he's getting marching orders from his Lord of Darkness, Satan himself. That's what the Bible says. And look what it said. If you don't believe me, look at verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So those who were unsaved are all, to some extent, influenced by this system and by this evil spirit of the prince of the power of the air. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. And what I find funny, just a couple pages, what I find funny about this is that when you think about what the devil uses the most to control the mind and to influence the unsaved into having all this ignorance and darkness and wickedness is basically television and radio, which if you think about it, it's all broadcast over the air. You know, when you go on TV, you go on the radio, it's like, hey, you're on the air now. And he's called the prince of the power of the air. And then when you talk about TV and radio, it's called programming. I mean, when you get the TV guide, it's the programming guide. And it's all over the air. And it, let me tell you, it's the prince of the power of the air that's behind it. The mass brainwashing. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. It says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Now, look, what's he saying? Unsaved people are ignorant, they're in darkness, and so forth. But he says, I don't want you to have that same mentality. So notice, being saved does not automatically just cause you to get all this stuff out of your mind and to no longer participate in any of this stuff. Otherwise, he wouldn't have to tell them, look, don't do it. Don't walk as other Gentiles walk. Don't have your understanding darkened, as it says in verse 18 there. And he's saying, gird up the loins of your mind. Take control of your mind. Take the reins of your mind. Get your mind ready to think for itself according to the scriptures and not according to the prince of the power of the air and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Look what it says there in verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through what? The ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And we could go to a lot of scriptures that talk about this same thing. We saw it in Ephesians 2. We saw it in Ephesians 4. Now we're going to see it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 about the fact that there's an agenda that the devil has to keep people ignorant, to keep people in darkness, and to blind the minds of them that believe not. Look down at your Bible, 2 Corinthians 4, 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see that right there? They're blinded by someone, and it's Satan, the Bible tells us, the god of this world. In Revelation 12, 9, you don't have to turn there, but the Bible reads, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, watch this, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Notice, it doesn't say who tried to deceive the whole world. He's trying to deceive. No, it says he deceives the whole world. He's very successful at it. I mean, God says he's already blinded the minds of them that believe not. They're in darkness. They're ignorant. And basically, he leads them into lust and wickedness as a way of life. Now, it's interesting. I have to give this illustration from this week. You know, we're working on the film Marching to Zion, which is a really important film and an important project. But I have to tell you something. I don't think that it's a coincidence that basically the persecution that I've undergone as a Bible-believing pastor has intensified on all fronts over the last 6 months since we really started working on this film and started announcing this film. Because I'm telling you something, when you start talking about that subject, you bring out all the forces of hell. Because, I mean, it's a big subject. And I'm telling you, I've undergone more persecution in more different ways, coming from a variety of governmental agencies to, you know, to just also just obstacles of trying to get this movie done. Because let me tell you something, the devil does not want the light to be shined on his activities. And he does not want the truth of the Bible and the truth of the gospel to be proclaimed. And let me tell you something, when you decide to be a preacher that preaches the word of God, let me tell you something, you are going to be in for a fight and you just have to be ready. And if you say, well, I don't want to do that, then you need to not ever think about becoming a pastor, because it's par for the course. I mean, if you're going to get up and start shining the light and preaching the word of God, the Bible says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And you know what? The more you do, the more the persecution is going to come. And you have to be able to withstand in the evil day. You have to be able to go through that, or you're not, you're, you know, you can't, it's the wrong business. But it's funny because we're working on the film, Marching to Zion, and we had a part where we needed a narrator. You know, we needed somebody with a really cool voice that would be a narrator, that would narrate a certain portion of the film. And so, you know, we're on the internet, you know, we're looking for the talent that has the right voice. That, you know, some people are just born with a cool voice, you know, Dominique comes to mind. But anyway, so, you know, people just have a great voice. And obviously he's developed his skill from reading the Bible out loud a lot. But the thing is, we find this guy who's like, you know, they're all like a Hollywood, you know, voice guy or whatever. So we find this guy. The guy sounds great. So we contact his agent, you know, and we book this guy. We book the studio. You know, we rent a studio. And we have this guy do voiceover for Marching to Zion. And the guy was a real nice guy. And, you know, he read over the script. We told him what the movie is about. We told the agency what the movie's about. In fact, she was asking me all kinds of questions, and I spent like 10 or 12 minutes just explaining to her in great detail everything that the film's about and all this. And okay, great. Okay, we sent the guy's lines over. Lines look great. He reads the lines. He's real happy. He's like, am I getting my name in the credits? And we're like, yeah, sure, you know, no problem. Of course, if you want, you know, if you'd rather go uncredited, no problem. He's like, well, why would I want to go uncredited? I said, well, you know, it's a really religious film. And, you know, in case you're a totally different religion or something, he's like, no, this is, you know, it's fine. Yeah. So anyway, we get this all recorded. And then, you know, Paul spends a whole bunch of time, you know, putting it into the movie, editing it down and, you know, fixing it up and everything like that. So we get a call the next day. And this lady says, you know, the talent, because that's what they're called, the talent. Okay. You know, the talent went home last night and he Googled you guys and he read up on you guys and he saw your preaching and everything. And they said he couldn't sleep at night. And in fact, his voice began to change. And I mean, remember, this guy, that's his life. You know, he's a voice guy. So, you know, I maybe there should be a warning label on our website. You know, this can cause permanent damage to your voice and sleepless nights. You know, consult a physician before listening to Pastor Aris's preaching. But anyway, you know, this guy, his voice is changing. He's real upset and everything. And I'm like, wait a minute, we've already recorded it. We already paid for the studio. We already did it. We've spent days of our time on this. It's too late, you know. She's like, I've been doing this for 28 years. I've never done this, but I have to tell you, you can't use it. You cannot use that which you've recorded. And I'm like, are you gonna pay for the studio that we use? No. Like, what are you talking? You just want us to eat this? We spent days on this. You know, we're using it. You guys can't use it. And here's what she said. And I wish I could just let you listen into the phone call, because I'm gonna tell you this, and this is exactly what she said. She said, you don't understand. He works in Hollywood. And she said, pretty much everybody in Hollywood is either a homosexual or a Jew. And she said, you've offended both. Yeah. You know? She's like, the stuff, and she mainly focused on the homos. And said, you know, the stuff you've said about homos, she said, like, this could destroy his career for even having had anything to do with you. Because she said, in this industry that we're working in, You must be talking. And this woman's claiming, by the way, to be a Christian. She claimed to be a Bible-believing Christian. And she's telling me, you have to be tolerant of homosexuals or you cannot work in this business. And I said to her, I said, oh, so what you're telling me is that there's this homosexual Jewish Hollywood mafia that just wants to make sure that a Christian viewpoint can never be heard. And let me tell you something. There is not just the element that Hollywood is never going to put out anything truthful. We know that's there, don't we? Hollywood's never going to put out anything truthful. The media, the TV, they're not going to put out the truth. But it doesn't just stop there. They actively will fight against anyone who does try to tell the truth. They won't even allow a Christian. I said, you won't even allow a Christian viewpoint to go forth. I said, let the guy be uncredited. So what? We don't care if he wants to be uncredited. No problem. And she said, well, I don't think that the Bible says anything against homosexuality. I said, you know what? You're a liar. I said, you want to hang around with a bunch of fags all day in Hollywood, so that's how you justify it, is by lying to yourself that the Bible doesn't condemn it. You know the Bible condemns it, but you just want to tolerate it for filthy lucre's sake because you want to make money in Hollywood. And let me tell you something. Hollywood is a wicked place. And let me tell you something. It's not just Hollywood. It's the radio. It's the magazines. It's Madison Avenue. Listen to me. It's the rulers of the darkness of this world. Go to Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Not only that, but just in the last few months, the company that we used that duplicated a bunch of my preaching CDs and duplicated my films and stuff is refusing to duplicate CDs and films for me now. But I'm telling you, they don't want this stuff to get out. And there's going to come a day, and right now the internet's a powerful tool to proclaim the truth uncensored. But let me tell you something, there could easily come a day when the internet is shut down or heavily censored. Because all it would have to be is that your ISP provider just says, well, you know, we don't approve of your brand of Christianity. It's too hateful. Look, anything they don't agree with is just hate. Just a blanket label. If it's Christian, it's hate. If it's biblical, it's hate speech. And then they'll just shut you down. And YouTube will shut you down. And Facebook will shut you down. And your ISP will shut you down. And Blogger will shut you down. And just say, well, we don't allow this kind of speech. You don't even know. I mean, thank God that we at least have free speech right now and free speech over the internet, but there's no free speech over the television. There's no free speech on the radio. Okay. But how long will the internet even last as a free source of ideas and information? We don't even know. And so I'm saying that we need to be fighting the battle on the front lines and not hiding, you know, and scared of our own shadow. Look, you say, well, Pastor Anderson, everything you've gone through over the last few months, you know, companies are refusing to work with you. You know, everybody's fighting you every step of the way on making this movie, Marching to Zion. And not only that, but, you know, the people are calling all these government agencies on you. They're calling the IRS. They're calling CPS and just railing accusations. And yeah, okay, once we show them all the evidence, you know, we come out of these things unscathed. But let me tell you, it's still a huge nuisance, though. And it's a pain in the rear end to have to go through all this. And you say, well, Pastor Anderson, you know, why don't you just tone it down a little? Why don't you just back down and cool it and take it? No! Because we need to be fighting harder than we've ever fought. Because I'm telling you something, the world is in darkness and deceived, and our country is going down the toilet at an alarming rate. And somebody needs to be the watchman on the wall and cry aloud and spare not. And you know what? There are a lot of pastors out there who agree with the stuff that I'm preaching about this. But where are they at? Now, some of them will publicly proclaim, I'm not the only one, of course. You know, there are 7,000 men that have not bowed the knee to Baal. And there are plenty of pastors who do stand up and preach right, but you know what? They're way less than there used to be. And for every one that's standing up and having the guts to proclaim what he believes, there are another 50 that are hiding in a cave like the prophets that Obadiah hid in a cave. You know, Elijah's the only one out publicly preaching this stuff, right? And it's like, oh no, there's 100 more prophets that believe this stuff. But they're all hiding in a cave. You know, they're hiding in a cave with Obadiah eating bread and water. You know, there's only one guy who would confront the king. and confront the prophets of Baal and confront the prophets of the groves. And that's the day that we're living in today, where there are few that will let their voice be heard. You know, thank God we have six or seven, you know, pastors participating with the Marching Design film. But you know what? It should be 60, you know, instead of six. I mean, you know, we don't need that many in the film. But the bottom line is that, you know, you'd expect these biblical truths to be proclaimed. But you know what? People are afraid to say anything against the homos because it brings a flood of persecution on you. Yeah. It's not that they don't agree.
Oh, well, I just don't agree. I just think we're supposed to just love and be buddies with everybody.
No, no, no. Here's what it is. I'm a coward, so let me find doctrine to back up me being a coward. And you want to know what the proof is? All these bunch of panderers, if you go back to their sermons in the 90s, they were ripping face like I am about that subject. Back in the 90s, everybody was doing it. Back in the 90s, even Falwell. Jerry Falwell was ripping face on the homos. But then you read his quotes from the 2000s, and it's like, oh, I don't want to disrespect the homosexual community. It's like, what? It's because it's just, that's how they decide what they preach. We are in a spiritual battle. And let me, look, you talk about never being able to work in this town again, you know, of Hollywood. Forget that. When I was in the fire alarm business, I lost 75% of my customers because of my preaching. I mean, that's the kind of persecution that's going on today, where they'll just try to make it to where you can't work, where you can't get your stuff out there. You can't put it on. You know, I've been banned from Facebook so many times, I can't even count. They make it to where you can't get your message out. But you know what? We're going to get our message out. Amen. And that's why we have, you say, why do you give all that stuff away for free? In the back shelf, all those DVDs and CDs, none of it's for sale back there. It's all free. You say, why do you give all that stuff away? Because you know what? Those are valuable tools to get information out. Yeah. When other channels are closing down, we need to get those physical DVDs and CDs in people's hands and get this stuff out. I mean, some of that stuff is like contraband back there. Yeah. I'm not kidding. I mean, some of that stuff, you know, is like, I mean, it's all legal now, you know, but who knows? You know, you got to get that stuff out there while you can and learn this stuff and teach this stuff. And look, we're in a spiritual battle. Look at Ephesians 6:11. And remember, what's the title of the sermon? Gird up the loins of your mind, right? Gird up the loins of your mind. Look at Ephesians 6:11. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, which is what we read about in all those other scriptures, how he's trying to keep everybody in darkness and keep everybody ignorant. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now look, the next time somebody calls you a conspiracy theorist, just point to this. Yeah. The rulers of the darkness of this world. It exists. Yeah. Yeah. There is a conspiracy of evil at the top of the power echelon in the world that we live in. Look at verse 14, though. Stand therefore, having your loins girt. Now remember, it's called gird up the loins of your mind. Having your loins girt about with truth. So how do we gird up the loins of our mind? We need to have an injection of the truth into our mind to help us gird up the loins of our mind. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. And so if we're going to gird up the loins of our mind, we need to stop listening to all the liars. We need to shut off the TV, shut off the radio, you know, shut off the world's sources of news and information and just all this junk, okay? And we need to get ourselves in this book for a while and renew our mind. And let me tell you something. I'm not saying it's wrong to ever look at the news or to listen to any of this stuff. But you know what? When you're sitting there and dwelling on that stuff day after day, you're being brainwashed and you're being programmed, period. Say, well, I listen to the conservative, though. The devil is smart enough to control both sides, my friend. You think the devil is just like, let's put all our resources on controlling the liberals and the Democrats, you know? Look, the Democrats and the liberals in this country are so godless and stupid, they don't even need the devil's help. They are fine. Okay, look, it's controlled on both sides. Okay, so what you're hearing on Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck is not the gospel. Okay, you know, Glenn Beck is a Mormon. That's a satanic religion. Okay, and you say, oh, well, I just listened to Mark Levin and Michael Savage, the real guys. Yeah, both Jews. You know, and by the way, the same people that are running TV, Hollywood, it's all run by Jews. Oh, if you say that, you're anti-Semitic. They're going to say I'm anti-Semitic anyway, so I might as well say it. It's all run by Jews. And the Bible calls them the synagogue of Satan. And the Bible says, who is a liar, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Messiah, he's Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. So look, these people that don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, they don't believe Jesus is the Christ, the Bible says they're Antichrist, and the Bible says they're liars. So you think that's the only thing they lie about? They lie about Jesus not being the Messiah. They lie and tell you that Isaiah 7:14, when it says a virgin shall conceive, that it's really just a young woman shall conceive. They lie and try to change all the prophecies of the Old Testament to have nothing to do with Jesus. Let me tell you something. They're lying to you every night on the evening news. They're lying to you every day on television and in the newspapers and in the magazines. Look, you say, well, I just really want to follow the news. Well, look, if you really want to follow the news, before you still need to take a big, long break from it and get in this book. Don't even tell me, well, I just want to read the newspaper every day and stay up on the news until you've read this book cover to cover about 5 or 10 times. You know, then read the newspaper a little bit if you must. But let me tell you something. Most people spend more time, you know this is true, listening to TV, listening to talk radio, and reading the newspaper than they spend reading this book or listening to an audio CD of this book. Because there's a lot of audio of this book out there. You know, you can get it for free off the internet. You can get Alexander Skirby. But you know and I know that most people are just letting the devil and the prince of the power of the air control their mind. And then they're lucky if they spend 5 minutes girding up the loins of their mind. And you know, when you get up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you get dressed, you tie your shoes, you put on deodorant, you know, you get out the door. That this is a spiritual hygiene that needs to take place in the morning. Just as much as I'm girding up my loins here, putting on a belt every day, you need to put on the belt of truth every day and gird up the loins of your mind. Loins, gird, look, don't be caught with your pants down, but rather gird up the loins of your mind, gird about with truth. And you know what Jesus said of the Bible? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You say, oh, I'm part of the truth movement. Oh, I'm glad to hear that you read the King James Bible every day. Yeah. That's the real truth movement. Yeah. This is what it means to be a truther. Amen. It means you believe in Jesus. Amen. It means you're a Christian. And so these are perilous times we're living in. The devil and his plan for a one world government are in full swing. TV, radio, newspapers are controlled, and the brainwashing is working. Which is why when you start speaking against homosexuality to Christians, they get uncomfortable. They literally, if I had a nickel for every time who told me, when I hear you get up and preach hard against homos or use a word like queer or faggot, they say, I get physically ill. They're like, I'm saved, I'm a Christian. And I literally cringe. It hurts. Like I feel, you know, it like hurts me when I, you know, and I cringe and it makes me sick to my stomach and I, you know, my heart starts pounding and I get a lump in my throat and I just, because you have been trained like Pavlov's dogs by the media and the world to accept that stuff. You know, and thank God I found a guy in town that's just willing to print whatever. You know what I mean? Because I called around and said, so are you part of the Hollywood homo mafia that's going to try to censor everything I say? Or will you just print whatever DVDs that I send you as long as my money's green? As long, you know, and you think the only money that's tainted is the money that taint there. And he said, send it over, dude, whatever you want. He said, whatever. I'm like, all right, here's my new film, AIDS, The Judgment of God. He's like, how many you want? When do you need it by? End of the week? Yeah. But let me tell you something. Most of them are part of this cabal. The Kabbalah cabal, you know, that doesn't want this information to get out, doesn't want the truth to get out there. Look, we're fighting this stuff. We're on the front lines. I'm telling you something. You need to gird up the loins of your mind and wake up to these things. We all need to be awake. Yep. And any of us can start slouching, start relaxing. And I'm not talking physically. I'm talking mentally. Let down the mental guard. Let down the loins of your mind and just start letting everybody program you and tell you. Look, do you notice that everybody talks about the same things on the same day? in the world we live in? Go to the grocery store, you go to work, go to the wholesale house, and it's like the same things are coming out. Everybody's on the same program. It's like that's what's been dished up for you mentally today, worldwide, nationwide. But you know what? We need to just get on a totally different program. Amen. This is how you get off the devil's wavelength. Yeah. Even if you say, well, I don't want to swear it off for life or whatever. Look, why don't you just do this? Take a break from it. Just take a break. And by the way, when you take a break from it, when you come back, nothing will change. I remember, like, I used to listen to a lot of talk radio. You know, you listen to conservative talk radio. And I remember one time I was like, man, I'm taking a break from this stuff. Because every day I felt like something major is always happening in Congress or major world events in the Middle East. And you're like, I got to be up on this. I got to stay up on this. And I remember I was like, you know, I'm just going to take a break from it. I went like 3 months without listening to it at all, just kind of living in my own bubble of just me and the Holy Spirit. And by the way, Jesus and John the Baptist and the Apostle Paul did that a few times. Remember when the Apostle Paul just went into Arabia for 3.5 years? Didn't want to be tainted by a lot of man's teaching. And so he just went into Arabia and just spent a lot of time with the Word of God, with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist did it in the wilderness. Jesus, look, if Jesus went in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, if John the Baptist went in the wilderness until the time of his showing to Israel, if Elijah took a 40-day, I need to gird up my mind here. If Elijah could spend 40 days just walking through the desert and just going, he's in Israel. He walked to Mount Sinai. He retraced the steps of the children of Israel who left Egypt, went to Mount Sinai, and then went to Promised Land. He went back to Sinai to get with God, and he just took that trip and was alone with God. And why can't you? Nobody's asking you to do an ultra marathon from Israel to Mount Sinai. Nobody's asking you to go out in the desert and fast for 40 days and 40 nights. Nobody's asking you to live off locusts and wild honey, you know, until the time of your showing unto Phoenix. But let me tell you something. Can you just live in a wilderness without TV and radio for a month? I mean, forget 40 days from food. How about just 40 days from the world? As far as just their airwaves and electronic programming. And you know what? It's funny. I did that for like 3 months. I just wouldn't listen to any of the news or the talk radio or anything. And right about the time I shut it off, they're like, oh, we're hitting the budget ceiling. We got to raise the debt ceiling. And there's this strife between the Republicans and the Democrats. And, you know, we don't want to raise that debt ceiling because we're already trillions in debt and blah, blah, blah. And then it's like the last minute they raise it. And just, let's go into more debt. We all agree again. Yeah, let's just all go into more debt. Trillions of dollars to the bankers. And then it was like another budget crisis. And then they're like, the Middle East is just like a boiling pot that's just about to boil over. And then it was like, I came back 3 months later and those two exact things were the exact things that were going on. Exactly. Another budget crisis. The debt ceiling again. The Republicans don't want to raise it. But they're like, let me think about it. Okay, sure, we'll raise it. You know, and they give in and whatever, and they raise it, and they go into more debt. And it's a sellout, but we're going to keep voting them in because they're going to save us. And if it wasn't one Bush that'll save us, it's the next Bush. And if he won't save us, then Jeb Bush is going to save us. And I know we've already had this other Clinton, but we're going to get a new Clinton in there. You know, and I know Mitt Romney has lost, you know, every single time he runs, and he's an idiot, and he's a Mormon, but you know what? We're going to go ahead and we're going to put them up again. And it's, dude, you could shut it off from 08 to 2012 and it's still Mitt Romney. You could shut it off from 2012 to 2016 and it's still Mitt Romney. These people are nuts. You're nuts if you think that Mitt Romney and Jeb Bush and these guys are our salvation politically. So look, if your choice is between Mitt and Jeb and all these people, and the why are you even involved? Why do you even care? It's controlled on both sides. Amen. You're wasting your time. You'd spend a lot.
Well, but my vote counts.
You know what counts? When you're out soul winning. You're actually getting something done when you go soul winning. And you know what? When you're going to, I'm going to read up on the news. I'm going to read up on, you know, the newspaper. I'm going to figure out what's going on in the Middle East. I want to get the bottom of it. No. Read up on this, and I guarantee you, you'll be way more effective. More people will be saved, and our nation will be saved. It'll help. Look, it'll help politically if we go soul winning. Why? Because God's people always go into bondage when they sin. And when they're not saved and when they serve other gods. Look, if we could get the people of our country serving the Lord and believing in Jesus, God would bless us with freedom. But we want to be worldly, not do any soul winning, listen to TV and radio, and we think that voting for some Bush or Romney or McCain is going to fix it. I mean, good night. If you're thinking like, wait a minute, what is he saying? What's he talking about? You mean he's not for our guy? You're part of the problem. And this sermon's for you. And you know what? If you're offended by this sermon, I'm talking to you. And you know what? If you're offended by this sermon, come up to me after the service. I'll write your name on this sermon and hand it to you. I will take my outline and I will sign it for you and I will write to your name here. You need this. I preach this just for you, Pastor Anderson. Because you know what? And it's the truth. You're the one who needs this sermon. Everything I'm saying up here is as true as the day is long. The Bible says that the devil controls the power of the air. The Bible says that this world is in ignorance and darkness by design. The Bible says that unsaved people are not performing the will of God. They that are in the flesh cannot please God, and that rather they are part of the problem, and that they are working according to the Spirit. He said, all of you before you were saved worked according to the power of the children of disobedience and the power of the air. Everybody. But not Glenn Beck, not Sean Hannity. You know, they're different. Right. Where are we at in this sermon? Nobody knows. Ephesians 6. Okay, go to Jeremiah 48:10. Here's the problem in the pulpits of America today. Here's the problem. Jeremiah 48:10. Now, what did the Bible say in Ephesians 6:12? It said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So is this a physical battle where we go out and sharpen our weapons and go out and fight? No. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So it's not a physical girding up of the loins that we need more than anything today of, you know, getting ready for combat and, you know, getting our weapons all cleaned and ready. You know, is that the main thing that we need to be doing today to prepare for the time? No, he said, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up your loins with truth. And he didn't say, go out and get a physical sword and sharpen it. And look, I'm not against owning physical weapons. We should, you know, protect ourselves and so forth. You know, we ask God to provide our food, our daily bread, but we still go to work every day. You know, we ask God to protect us, but we still own a weapon as the Bible tells us we should in both Old and New Testament. But let me tell you something. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. And you know what? Those weapons are not going to protect you from the biggest dangers. And by the way, those weapons are not going to fight the battle that needs to be fought. Because the Bible says, and you're in Jeremiah 48, but I'll just read this for you. For though we walk in the flesh, I mean, we're living and walking in a flesh and blood body. He said, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly weapons, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity, listen to this, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Did you hear that? Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What's the battle today? What's the spiritual warfare? If he says, hey, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, we're wrestling against principalities and powers. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they're spiritual weapons. Okay, how do I fight? What do I do? Where's the front line? He said, we're casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It's a mental battle. And first of all, we must take control of our own mind. We must gird up the loins of our own mind. Then we want to go out and shine the light and open the minds of others. Now, part of that is the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Part of that is when people from our church, virtually every day of the week, somebody from our church is out knocking doors with the Bible preaching the gospel. You know, and we strongly encourage and preach and try to get people to get out at least once every week, at least once every week, and get out there and knock some doors and give the gospel. That's a big part of who we are as a church. That's a big part of the battle, is just getting people saved. Because if we can get people saved, you know, now they can do right. They can serve God. They can be led of the Spirit. You know, hopefully they will be, but at least they can be. And going out and preaching the gospel is a huge part of it. But is that the whole Great Commission? Did it stop there? Just preach the gospel and let it lie. No, he said also baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And he said, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So when it comes to the Great Commission, when we're out soul winning, we're fulfilling part of it, right? We're teaching all nations. We're preaching the gospel to every creature. Okay, when we baptize somebody after the service this morning, we're fulfilling another part of it. And listen, I am right now fulfilling the third part because I'm teaching you to observe all things that the Bible commands. So even though this sermon's not about salvation, it's a fulfillment of the Great Commission because I'm showing you a commandment in the Bible. Jesus said, teach them to observe all things I've commanded you. What's the command that I'm teaching you this morning? To gird up the loins of your mind. It's not optional. It's a commandment. There's a commandment in the New Testament that says, gird up the loins of your mind. How do you disobey that commandment? Letting your mind relax and take in everything the devil has for you. That's what I'm preaching against today. And I'm telling you, gird up the loins of your mind, gird up about the loins with truth, and instead of that morning paper and the morning show and the morning news and the morning this, it needs to be the morning Bible reading to gird it up. And you know what? Throughout the day, the belt can get a little loose, start sagging, gird it up again, gird it up at lunchtime. Seven times a day will I praise God for his righteous judgments. You know, be like Daniel where he prayed morning, noon, and night. You know, read the Bible and meditate on God's word day and night. It's a constant tightening of the belt. It's a constant girding up of the loins with truth. Why? Because the devil is always going to be coming at us, trying to loosen us up and find that chink in the armor where he can get into your mind. And that's what the Devil State University here in Tempe wants to do. They want to get in your mind. That's why there are certain jobs that they close off to you unless you have a degree from one of these institutions. Not because somebody couldn't get those skills on their own or learn them as an apprentice or learn them through study. No, they want to get into your mind. And you're like, well, I can't do X the job unless I go down there. Then you go down there and it's like, okay, yeah, here's the core, you know, math and science that you're trying to learn. But also, you need to get a liberal education also. I mean, when I went to school, I went for math. You know, I love math. Who likes math? But I'm not one of those nerdy guys I was preaching about earlier in the service. But, you know, I like math. I really enjoy math. And so I was going for, I was going to junior college and going for math. And my plan was to go to, you know, Devil State University and get a degree in electrical engineering because I was an electrician by trade. My dad was an electrician. My grandpa was an electrician before that, you know, hadn't been invented or whatever. But, you know, so I wanted to do electrical engineering. And it's like just to go for the math and to go for the electrical engineering, they make you take all this diversity stuff and all this junk and teach you all this antichrist stuff. I mean, I was just trying to find the most non-offensive classes to take. Thankfully, I got out of a lot of my cultural and diversity by taking foreign languages because they said if you take German 4 and Spanish 4, that'll satisfy your cultural, you know, and you don't have to take, you know, lesbian poetry of the 20th century or whatever, you know. So I'm like, okay, I got out of that stuff. But then I took like a history class. It was just the history of Western civilization, it was called. All evolution based, you know, and all kinds of evolution. And then just a blaspheming of Christianity and how the Bible's full of contradiction. I mean, that's what they're teaching. Then I took a class called Cultural Geography. Cultural geography. So, because I want to take a geography class because I figured, you know, I like maps and stuff. But the only one that could fit the time I needed was cultural geography. So, but I read up on it. It's like, oh, you're just learning about, you know, different cultures of the world. I'm like, that sounds cool. I've always liked stuff like that. You know, learn about what it's like in Asia and Europe. And, you know, I've always loved travel and language and stuff. And you know, they're teaching us about Japan and we're watching a video. All of a sudden on the video, it's just a bunch of naked 20-year-old women. This is a Japanese bathhouse. Just a bunch of nude, young Japanese women, you know, in a bath. It's like, is that really necessary for me to learn about Japan? show me that imagery that's going to, you know, that could cause you to lust and whatever. And then another time I'm in there, and the teacher in the cultural geography class, she's like, I went to India and I saw people levitate on street corners, and it was real. Now, of course, if you've seen all the videos where it's debunked, you know it's not real. But she's teaching class. She's like, look, I know it's real. And the kids are just like, wow. They're just eating it up about this, you know, this Eastern mysticism. It's all real, and they can levitate and all this stuff. I've seen it. I've been there. This is the college professor telling us that. And then she showed us a video about how the whole world's overpopulated and we need to use birth control, and was praising the communist China one-child policy, praising it unto us. I mean, this is to get a math degree, and I only went for a year and a half to get a math degree. Another time, in the German class, they played a video that just showed pedophilia. I got up and walked out of the classroom. Showed pedophilia on screen in German class. In German 4. Yeah, that's going to help me know how to speak German. I'm telling you, the devil wants to get into your mind. And these are that's why he controls the higher education. It's why he controls the TV, controls the radio, controls the magazines. You say, well, how am I going to make a living? There are plenty of people who make six figures without going to college, by the way. Go out and work, you learn a trade, you learn skills. And you say, well, what about those certain jobs where it's like you have to get that degree? Like, I could never be an engineer because you have to have a degree to get your PE. So what I ended up doing is I just went into fire alarms, and I got a separate fire alarm engineering credential that didn't require college, and I made six figures in the fire alarm business. So, I mean, it's possible to do it another way. And you say, but what if your kids grow up and they want to do one of these jobs where they have to, you know, go to all this Devil State University and learn? You know, I just tell my kids, don't do that job. Pick a different job.
That's right. Amen. Good.
Oh, but we need Christians to be in those jobs. Yeah, we need Christians with a pure mind.
Amen.
To gird up the loins of their mind. We need Christians to have been brainwashed is what we need more than that. And there are plenty of backslidden Christians that'll get, you know, go there and do those jobs and everything. So it's not like there's a problem. Hey, we don't have a shortage of backslidden Christians.
Right.
We don't need you to be like, well, I got to be one of these backslidden Christians, though, or we're not going to have enough, you know, Christian whatever. No, we need you to be one of the less than 1% that are girded up in the loins of your mind. Okay. But look down at your Bible in Jeremiah. Here's what's wrong with the pulpit of America. We talked about how it's a spiritual battle. We talked about how the weapons are spiritual, not physical. Look what it says in Jeremiah 48, verse 10. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. And then look at the next statement where he restates it in another way. And cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. Now look, that this scripture, Jeremiah 48, 10, The context is about a physical fight, okay? This is a physical battle where the children of Israel are going to war against the enemies of the Lord, and basically, they're supposed to fight the battle, and he's saying, you know, cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. The person who doesn't want to fight, doesn't want to get involved, doesn't want to engage the enemy and do damage. That's what he's saying. What else does it mean? Keep back your sword, blood. Okay, so how would this apply in the spiritual battle? This is the pastor who says, I want to do the work of the Lord. Positive only. I'll be at the battle. I'll show up at the battle. I'll do the work of the Lord, but I'm keeping my sword back from blood. And listen, we need some Bibles today, some spirit, sword of the spirit, that's got the blood of the enemy on it today is what we need. You know, we got a bunch of clean swords today. Bunch of pastors today where their Bible is as clean as a whistle. Okay? We need some swords of the Spirit to go out and actually engage the enemy. And when the Bible says, cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, I wouldn't want that to be said of my ministry. Your ministry, you did the work of the Lord, but you did it deceitfully. And you know why it's deceitful? Because they're getting up and acting like they're preaching everything the Bible says, leaving out huge sections. Because they're not popular and because they don't want to get blood on their sword. That's what's really going on. Oh, I don't want to offend. Don't want to get any blood on the sword. Oh, I don't want to preach that because it's going to turn people away. Oh, they don't want to get any blood on their sword. They want to have a crystal, clear, clean, sanitized for your protection type sermon. Sanitary, clean, and, you know, pristine of a sermon. Instead of getting out there and actually engaging the enemy, Paul didn't have a sword that was kept back from blood. He said, I fought the good fight. He didn't say, you know, I was peaceful with all men. He said, I fought the good fight. I'm for peace, but when I speak, they're for war. And let me tell you something. We are to fight the Lord's battles. I'm not saying physically. I've never, my sword in my office has no blood on it, and it never has had any blood on it. But this sword, if you could see it spiritually, would be dripping in blood. It would. And, you know, I think I remember Jesus shedding his blood for us. You know, and we're supposed to be in a battle here. But you know what happens when you go out and start, getting your sword engaged in battle? You're going to take some wounds yourself. And that's what these guys are scared of. They're cowards. Now go, if you would, to Acts chapter 20. I got to hurry up. I'm almost out of time here. But I hope the point of the sermon is getting across to you. I'm going to skip some scriptures here that are in the sermon. But I hope the point is getting across to you. We need to gird up the loins of our mind. Why? Because I showed you scripture after scripture that the devil has an agenda and a program where he has blinded the minds of them that believe not. He is keeping them in ignorance. And God said, beware, lest you're caught up in the error of the wicked. You need to make sure to gird up the loins of your mind. Being saved doesn't automatically make you immune from the devil's deception. There are plenty of saved people who get deceived on things by the devil and by TV and by radio and everything else. It doesn't mean they're not saved. It just means they haven't girded up the loins of their mind. And so how do we do it? The truth. Gird it with the truth. How do we do it? How about this? Go to a church that'll preach the truth. Amen. Because if you're going to a church that's doing the work of the Lord deceitfully, where they won't ever hit a controversial issue, and they won't ever say anything that offends, you know what that's doing? That's just reinforcing the garbage programming you're getting all week long. You need a church that when you show up will grab you and shake you out of the programming you've been getting all week long. But honestly, church isn't enough. Don't put on your belt one day a week. Put on your belt every morning, noon, and night, and tighten it up. Tighten up your mind, strengthen. Did you know your mind is like a muscle? It's true. Anybody will tell you this. The more you read and the more you study and the more that you memorize the Bible and the more that you think, your brain gets stronger. And the more you just in front of the TV, you get stupid. And nothing can be more true about TV than this statement. TV makes you stupid. I mean, your mom told you that when you were a kid. You thought it was just a figure of speech. TV makes you stupid. It's the idiot box. It's the boob tube. It's for morons. It makes you dumber. Oh, but I watch educational stuff. No, it still makes you dumb. What's the difference between that and reading? I don't know, but reading makes you smart and TV makes you dumb. I don't have to explain why. You know, I don't know all the reasons necessarily why when I push the gas pedal down in the car, we go faster. But it still happens. It's still real. I don't have to know all the inner workings of a piston four-cycle engine to know that when I push the button, the light bulb comes on. And when I push my foot on the gas, we go forward faster. And when I push the brake, we slow down. Look, TV makes you stupid. And not only that, but the devil, do you really think that the angel of the Lord is sitting down at the switchboard out at NBC and CBS? Who do you think's running that thing? Christ rejectors. Christ haters are running it. Seriously, I'm telling you. And if you're just going to let that all come into you while you neglect this book, it gets dusty and neglected. Your loins are not girded up. You might physically look so sharp and come into church and you look awesome and everything's perfect and you're all girded up and ready to go. But you know what? If we saw you spiritually, you're in a bathrobe and you're in a lazy boy in a bathrobe and you're eating chips off your chest. If we could see you spiritually, that's what you look like. You're eating the junk food of the world, totally devoid of nutrition. You know, you got your big, super big gulp of diet, whatever, aspartame, GMO garbage, spiritually. Yeah. You know, and then, no real nutrition. The fruit and vegetables are rotting on your kitchen counter, but the chips are just constantly in supply. You know, the sodas are constantly in supply. You know, the meat is expired. The milk is expired. You know, the fruits and vegetables are expired. The whole grains, you know, you're sitting there and eating a bunch of junk food and you're sedentary and slothful and you need to gird up the and get ready to go and do something. And you need to get mentally prepared for it and teach others also. Where did I have you turn? Acts 20 is the last scripture we'll turn to. And then we'll shut her down. Acts chapter number 20, it says this. Verse 18, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I've been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. You know, and I know what that's like. You know, you start making a film like, you know, Marching to Zion, there's the lying in wait of the Jews to get you. This is not real. Otherwise, yeah. Everybody's like, it's out, it's done, cool. End of March, people, all right? But, you know, the lying in way of the Jews. But look what he says. How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. Do you see that in verse 20? So here's what he's saying. In verse 19, there were people lying in wait to arrest him, to beat him, to kill him, to lie about him, to malign him. He said, you know that the Jews were lying in wait to do that to me. But he said, I kept back nothing. Did it affect his preaching that they lied in wait? No, he said, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. You say, well, what? Yeah, but is everything really profitable? Well, I think the Bible said all scripture is profitable. Amen. All scripture is given by inspiration of God's profitable. You know what he's saying? I didn't keep back any Bible from you. If it was in the Bible, I preached it. That's what Paul said. And have taught you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Look, and that phrase, I finished my course, was associated with fight the good fight in 2 Timothy 4. So the bottom line is, we as pastors need to have our loins girt with truth and keep back nothing. You as a Christian need to go to a church that keeps back nothing. You as a believer need to gird up your mind and those loins every single day by reading scripture, and you need to take 40 days in the wilderness from all the world's brainwashing and get alone with the Holy Spirit and get alone with the Word of God and see how it transforms you as a person. You will be transformed in 40 days and 40 nights of shutting off worldly stuff and just Bible. Just get in the Bible. It's not going to kill you to take a break from some of the other stuff. But what if things really erupt in the Middle East and I missed it? It's always erupting over there. It'll be erupting the same way 40 days from now as it is now. No, I think this is really it this time. How many times? And you know what? If it is, somebody will tell you about it. That's what I always tell people. They're like, you don't follow the news? I'm just like, well, if it's anything really big, like somebody comes and tells me. Hey, did you hear about whatever? Gird up the loins. If you quit just being so relaxed mentally, you need to hit the gym mentally. You need to hit the gym and start, you know, building up, you know, your mind. And I'm like, I'm going to take control of my mind. I'm going to get stronger. My mind's going to get strong. You know, I'm going to learn the Bible and I'm going to know what's going on. You know, I'm not against going to the gym, but, you know, you need to hit the mental gym. Your muscles are sagging mentally. You know that taxi cab drivers in New York, they tested a bunch of them that used GPS and a bunch of them that didn't use GPS. Okay, and I'm not against you. I use GPS, okay? I'm horrible with directions. But these cab drivers, that's all they're doing all day is driving places. Some of them use GPS. The others are all just doing it with their brain. And they looked at the part of the brain that had to do with memory, the hippocampus, okay? And it was smaller in the cab drivers who were using GPS, and it was bigger in the ones who were actually using maps and thinking about it and doing it on memory. So that shows, you know, that your brain can be developed or underdeveloped. You know, and some of you, the entertainment part of your brain is way overdeveloped. and the spiritual part is underdeveloped. We're talking physically. Gird up the loins of your mind. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the warning, Lord, so that we don't have to just, as sheep to the slaughter, just go to Madison Avenue and Hollywood and TV, you know, and just get spoon-fed a bunch of junk, Lord. Thank you for warning us so we could know, hey, we need to get in the Bible. We need to clean all this stuff out of our mind and get rid of it. Lord, representatives of Hollywood this week told us, you have to be pro-homosexual. You can't say anything negative about the Jews because, you know, they run things here. But Lord, help them not to run our mind. Let them run Hollywood and Madison Avenue, but help them not to control our minds as Bible-believing Christians, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.